The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Donald J. Trump called for the insurrection against the United States of America.
You talked about Al-Qaeda. What has he done in terms of incitement, right, that Osama bin Laden didn't do?
Each of these people should be shamed, and they're going to go back, you know, to the Olive Garden and to the Holiday Inn that they're staying at.
The way that we in the media speak about this is so important.
Today was terrorism.
We call them terrorists.
Terrorists.
Domestic terrorists.
Domestic terrorists.
Domestic terrorists.
These people are not Americans.
Kevin McCarthy was on Fox calling this un-American. Marco Rubio.
I don't know. There's a lot of empty rhetoric. There's a lot of empty concern.
Hawley, I should say, of all people, had the nerve to condemn the violence that we saw today.
Josh Hawley should resign in ignominy. Ted Cruz as well. But honestly, Mitch McConnell, too.
Shame on them. Shame on those senators. They sided with domestic terrorists yesterday, and we won't forget it.
This in no way absolves them of the sin and the sins that they and the president had committed against this country.
And if Donald Trump Jr., Rudy Giuliani, and Donald Trump are not arrested today for insurrection and taken to jail and booked.
It was encouraged by our Republican colleagues, and that is why every single one of them, especially because they have been the ones trying to steal this election, that's why we are calling for them to be removed.
But then Trump supporters come in and you open the doors for them. You open the doors for them and let them breach the people's house.
Welcome to the clown show. There you go. A blast from the past. That was the hysterical reaction to the fake insurrection back in January of 2021. Now they're just finally getting around to finding the pipe bomber. The one actual terrorist who came with the weapon. All the others, they were tracking them with cell phones, credit card information. Grandma, put grandma in jail because she walked into the Capitol. But not the pipe bomber. Just let him. I mean, even though he's on video, he's on video. And for 5 years almost, I mean, it even took the Trump administration to, and even still, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of strange things that have been covered up or that have been promoted. But there, how, just go right down the, well, let me start the show. Let me start by thanking you for joining us. The last show of the week, can you believe it's Friday? You can get to the live video stream of this show at thetrumpet.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. We've got, actually, speaking of the show, we've got a special show coming up, although there's a betting pool in the studio over whether we'll get to it or not. But we will hopefully get to some of the material that has been stacking up about marriage, the breakdown of family, and so on. We've got, I mentioned the royal wedding from back in 1981, I think it was, Prince Charles at the time and Lady Diana. And we've got a lengthy recap of that in case some of you haven't seen that. I think it'll be fascinating. And I think Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong at the time, said it was like the last blast of glory for Great Britain. And he was right about that. He was right. And that's alluded to in my father's book, The New Throne of David. So that's coming up, the World Watch segment. We'll try to tuck that into the end of the show on this Friday, as per usual. So if you're keeping score at home, just think about the nonstop fakery that we got from the very beginning. You heard it right there, all the fake outrage. They were in on it. And then you fast forward a little bit and you get to the hearings. Remember that? Who's the guy that used to be in Congress? He was just sobbing like a little baby. Kinzinger. Sobbing like a baby. The police office, the Capitol Hill police. And then all the fake narratives, they had to pretend that officers were murdered. They started in with remember the fire hydrant, all the stories. And then when they had the hearings, they had to bring in the Hollywood producers because it was all for show. It was like creating a movie. And then more recently, as we covered on this show, you've got the BBC. They were caught red-handed cutting and pasting Donald Trump's speech from that day together to make it seem like he was calling for an insurrection. They decided that, as you heard from that blast from the past, they decided that from the beginning. Donald Trump, Don Jr., they belong in prison. They're made to look like fools this many years on. And why would they have to keep faking things, faking details of this so-called insurrection, making them out to be terrorists? And meanwhile, the one terrorist, the one domestic terrorist, who's a left-winger, by the way, they couldn't track him down. All the cell phone, credit card, video technology in the world could not catch the 30-year-old autistic guy that planted a pipe bomb within a few feet of Kamala Harris. It's unbelievable. And as I say, all the questions haven't even been answered still. Listen to this. Speaking of a blast from the past, this one's from 2022, clip two.
Jelani, you're a black man. I'm a Muslim. When you consider how black criminals and Muslim terrorists are treated, both by the legal system and by the media, and yet the January 6th pipe bomber who laid explosives in front of the RNC and DNC headquarters still walks free. We just learned today that then Vice President-elect Harris was inside the DNC when the bomb was found there. We still don't take domestic terrorism of the far-right white variety seriously in this country, do we?
No, we don't. We've seen this since the Obama administration, where they pointed out that there was this rise of white nationalist terror, and that was promptly squashed and jumped upon by the Republicans in Congress. And so great cries of outrage in response to that. And this has been what we've seen since then, nowhere near the level of alarm that we've had around the, what was the phrase they used, Islamic terror, that they were trying to make Barack Obama say all the time?
Yeah, it's just so depressing, the double standards. I don't know how many times you can draw attention to it. I, as a Muslim, keep drawing attention to it because it kills me.
There you go. There they are, helpfully injecting race into the story. And now we learn these details of the pipe bomber. Why did it take so long? Why has it taken 5 years? This is from Jesse Waters last night, clip one.
Fox News alert, we just got new pictures of the January 6th pipe bomb suspect, Brian Cole Jr., who was arrested after nearly 5 years. He's a 30-year-old black man, and unless you're watching CNN.
Brian Cole Jr., a 30-year-old white man from the D.C. suburbs, is charged with transporting an explosive device.
Why do they keep doing that?
The mistakes always flow in one direction, as we've said. Still, the knee-jerk reaction, well, he's got to be white. Well, he's got to be MAGA. A 30-year-old black man. They still get it wrong on the race side of things. This one goes back also to 2022. Tucker here, this is back when he was with Fox News, and he does a pretty good job of just pointing out all the craziness regarding this mysterious pipe bomber. Here's clip 17.
CNN reported that Kamala Harris was at the Democratic National Committee on Capitol Hill when the riot began. Here's the fascinating part. The DNC building was the site of one of the two pipe bombs planted the night before, apparently by the same people who stormed the Capitol. Harris's own security detail found that bomb at the DNC. According to CNN's account, Harris herself came within, quote, several yards of that explosive device. Really? It's remarkable if you think about it. Kind of a big deal. Why haven't we heard that before? And why didn't the Justice Department know? Why did the DOJ think Kamala Harris was at the Capitol? It's not like Kamala Harris hasn't talked about January 6th. She talked about it constantly since the day it happened. In fact, just last month, Harris gave a speech in which she said that January 6th was so traumatic that all Americans remember, quote, where they were and what they were doing when our democracy came under assault. She said that. So it would have been the perfect moment for Kamala Harris to tell us that she herself came within mere feet of a racist insurrectionist bomb. They literally tried to kill me. You can easily imagine Kamala Harris saying that. But she never mentioned that she was right near the bomb. In fact, she continued to hide that fact. It's completely bizarre. What's going on here? We're not sure. Something's going on here. There's no question about that because the story doesn't make any sense. And now that we mention it, whatever happened to the investigation into those two pipe bombs? Now, everyone's assumed those bombs were planted by a Trump supporter. The media have told us that. But who is this person? 13 months later, we have no idea. The FBI says it has no leads at all in the case. That's very strange. The FBI has video footage of the person who planted the pipe bombs. Footage of that person sitting on a park bench outside the DNC, talking on a phone. You'd think the fact that person was on a phone might be very helpful since people are identified all the time in crimes by their phones. But no, no leads whatsoever. While sneaking around the surveillance fortress that is Capitol Hill on camera the night before January 6th. Weird. People who plant bombs are almost always caught because there's a lot of physical evidence. This physical evidence was in pristine condition. But this person hasn't been caught. This person, an amateur wearing Nike Air Max sneakers, has confounded the entire FBI crime lab and eluded the largest manhunt in American history, since the bombs themselves could not have been detonated on January 6th. The bombs were planted the night before, 17 hours before they were found. Yet the timers on the bombs were of the ancient kitchen clock variety. They could only be set to an hour maximum. The bombs had no remote detonation function. So effectively, by January 6th, they were inert. What's strange is that of all the places in the world Kamala Harris could have gone at 11:30 a.m. on January 6th, she went to the DNC building where her bodyguards promptly discovered the pipe bomb. So if the bomb was planted by a Trump supporter as a diversion, as the Capitol Police have said, you've got to wonder how exactly that worked. Would a Trump supporter have known where Kamala Harris was going to be that morning? Probably not. Even her political allies didn't know for some reason. Yet it's fair to assume that if Kamala Harris hadn't gone to the DNC when she went, the pipe bomb wouldn't have been discovered just minutes before the insurrectionist breach of the Capitol. In other words, if Kamala Harris hadn't been there, the bomb couldn't have been the diversion that the Capitol Hill Police Department said it was. It's all pretty mysterious. This person, by publicly available accounts, planted a bomb mere yards from the vice president-elect of the United States. That's far more a threat to our democracy than anything that happened at the Capitol building, by far.
By far is right. He's the only one that had a weapon. He could have killed Kamala. He could have killed Trump. He had a bomb. Nobody else had weapons at the Capitol. They lie. They lie when they say they did. They lied about the fire hydrant. They lied about Sicknick. They lied about all kinds of things. The BBC up until this day lied about the speech. It's all carefully crafted for television, for TV. And meanwhile, here everything is, like he said, it's a surveillance fortress, DC. And the one guy, he was on his cell phone. And the one cell phone I guess they couldn't track, that would be the 30-year-old guy that built a bomb that was within yards of Kamala. Listen to Kash Patel on Fox News. But actually, wait a second. Just think about, you know, it's easy to focus in on the clown show at MSNBC, but what about just the clowns in general? He mentioned there, Tucker did, and this is, by the way, this is before Tucker got into Jew hating and all these other things. I think he's currently at a some kind of an event in Qatar. But back then, some solid reporting. You wish he could get back into that kind of reporting. It's needed today because there's so many lies, so much deception. But even the way it was exposed yesterday, and Patel says more information is coming out. Let's hope that it will. But just step back and connect the dots. America was under attack. It was bitter affliction. Think about what followed the fake insurrection. Donald Trump was virtually blotted out. He had no voice. These people, they're willing to carry out assassination attempts. They use lawfare. They fake insurrections. Think about all the others who were in on this. The Capitol Hill Police, the D.C. Metro Police, Chris Wray, Merrick Garland, Joe Obama, all his people. They all knew. They all knew. Listen, it was get Trump at all cost. And the fact that God prevented it from happening, I mean, that's the big takeaway here. There is no possible way a human being could have withstood all of these attacks for 4 years and still made it into the White House. I mean, that's God, like it says in Psalms 2. That's God laughing at the plotting and scheming of human beings. How pitiful and how pathetic we are. To think that we know more than God, how pitiful and pathetic for us to get up on our self-righteous platform and shout from the rooftops like you heard in the cold open, these people thinking they know every detail about the story because, well, they're the objective journalist. They're the ones that are just trying to report the facts, right? They cover up facts. They distort facts. They tell lies. They're propaganda masters. And you have to work overtime just to weed through it. So many smoke screens. So many cover-ups. So much lying. And no one ever held to account. Now, I guess we're just supposed to believe this 30-year-old. Of course, he acted alone. Another Thomas Crooks. There you go. Here's Kash Patel on Fox News, clip 5.
As to this specific case, the pipe bomber, you're right. The prior administration sat on the evidence for 4 years. There wasn't any production of new evidence from 5 years ago. Again, Trace, we looked at 3 million lines of evidence. Mm-hmm. We went back and looked at the cell phone tower data dumps. We went back and looked at the providers and what information they provided pursuant to search warrants at the time. And ask questions such as, why weren't all the phone numbers scrubbed and why weren't they connected and why wasn't there any geolocational data done? Now, that is either sheer incompetence or complete intentional negligence, and neither of which is acceptable for this FBI. So, but what I'll remind the audience is this suspect was just 25 years old. Mm-hmm. At the time of the alleged pipe bomb incident, not an old person at all, not someone with extensive history necessarily in the criminal justice system.
See, they don't take it far enough. Maybe it's just incompetence. Maybe there was intentional negligence, or maybe it was a cover-up. So lots of questions still. We'll just leave it at that. This is Dan Bongino. He works for Cash at the FBI. Clip 3.
One of the big takeaways from today is you did not find any new evidence. It was all there, had been there for the longest period of time. The only difference between you and Director Wray and the Biden DOJ is they did not prioritize it. Why? And I know it wasn't easy to solve, but you did it in 8 months.
Sean, I don't know what the prior leadership team was doing outside of, targeting political opponents, weaponizing the FBI, destroying its reputation, embarrassing agents that are doing really good work out there, catching terrorists, CCP spies, and everyone else. It's almost like they were intentionally trying to decimate faith in institutions.
Right, yeah. Think about what they did prioritize. Which cell phones they did track. They went after grandmothers. Remember the pre-dawn raids? And that's what's missing. I saw a funny clip, an old clip of Matt Gaetz just this morning. And I thought, maybe it would have been a little different with Gaetz as the AG and then Kash Patel working under him instead of Pam Bondi. Saw a meme of her the other day about how she just doesn't act. So it's not as bad as Merrick Garland, but inaction. Bongino just said, I don't know what this prior leadership team was doing outside of targeting political opponents, weaponizing the FBI, and destroying its reputation. Okay, so then go after them. This is a cover-up. This is criminal. This was weaponizing all of those agencies with the help of even the local law enforcement to get Trump. Anything to get him out. This is from the Daily Wire. Brian Cole Jr. ran a bail bonds company that worked to free illegal immigrants from ICE facilities and sued the Trump administration's Department of Homeland Security. So this guy, this perp, far to the left, he's a pipe bomb maker and he hates Trump. He sued Trump. He's trying to free illegal aliens. Says weeks before Cole allegedly planted pipe bombs found at the headquarters of the DNC or Democrat and Republican parties on January 6th, a court ruled against his lawsuit suing the Trump administration. Later that year, Cole held a press conference bemoaning anti-black racism with a left-wing attorney. It says Cole and Benjamin Crump of all people, you can Google him, radical leftist right across the board, who represented the family of Trayvon Martin, attempted to sic the Biden Department of Justice on a Tennessee prosecutor who had raised questions about a bail bond company operated by Cole Jr. There you go. Now, Bongino and Patel, as I say, they both have said that there's more to come with respect to the motive behind this guy. But here again, of all the people on January 6th, here's the one that actually had a weapon. And here's the one that they couldn't catch. Assuming he's the one, you hear all the reports and you have to use the word allegedly. So much covered up, so much lied about. And then the hyperventilating, just in looking back at the way they treated this story, the talking heads in 2021, pretty pathetic. This is also from the Daily Wire. The January 6th pipe bombs were used by Democrats and the media to portray Trump supporters as violent, though during the Biden administration, the FBI claimed it was unable to locate a suspect. They just used it to show that, you see, it was violent. One officer got his head bashed in with a fire hydrant or with some kind of object. We don't know all the details. But then the bomber guy, remember him? So, I mean, there were this was Donald Trump attempting to overthrow the government of the United States of America. And then for 4 years, they sat on the evidence. It's like one of them just said, it's not like they're investigating it. And now they're finding all this new evidence. They covered up the evidence because they knew the guy's background, Brian Cole. And of course, now there's going to be a lot of people working double time to make sure we believe that he acted alone, that there was no political motivation whatsoever, nothing. Listen to Bongino again from yesterday, clip four.
I mean, what these people in prior administrations did to this country, Sean, to, you know, decimate and destroy faith in these institutions. And I just hesitate to think of where we would be right now with a different president in charge. I really do. I don't.
We know.
We may not have a.
We know the answer. Yeah. I don't disagree.
I mean, that's why that next day I woke up and I just, you know, I probably should have, but it was just, I couldn't get it out of my head what they did to just destroy this beautiful place we call home.
This is from my father's 2018 piece. Remember that from the trumpet? Saving America from the radical left temporarily. Only God could do it. The country, as they said there, they're just talking about it on an evening news show on Fox News. How close America came to just being totally destroyed. My father wrote this 7 years ago. Had Hillary Clinton been elected, and he's going back to 2016, had Hillary Clinton been elected, the destructive trends that unfolded during the Obama presidency would have continued unchecked, and they surely would have intensified. Many people, including me, believe it would have meant an end to our constitutional republic. That's thetrumpet.com. You can get a free subscription to the Trumpet magazine. Tomorrow's news today at the 800 number on the screen there. Or you can go to the website, as I just said. But as you do that, make sure that you also order America Under Attack. But you talk about a book that just laid it all out there for us these past 8, 9, 10 years. It's all there. It was all there ahead of time. I mean, the dots are all connected in that wonderful book. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll play the special video. The video editors are making my job easy today. This is a look back at the glorious wedding, Prince Charles at that time, and Diana Spencer. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Prosperity, government, trade, technology, stability, freedom. The last two centuries have been the exception in human history. How did we get here? The 19th century was dominated by an empire that exported civility, order, standards, and opened the doors for global trade. It ended slavery and implemented a system of governance that protected people's rights. And then in the 20th century, a new power came to dominate. Remarkably, one that would continue in the same traditions as its predecessor. For 200 years, the United States and Britain dominated the world stage. How did these two nations rise to prominence so suddenly? And why are their legacies so relentlessly attacked today? The astonishing truth is that your Bible prophesied the rise of Britain and the United States. It also prophesied their fall. The biblical identity of these two nations is the vital key that unlocks Bible prophecy. This lost master key to prophecy is revealed in Herbert W. Armstrong's most requested book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. You must understand the biblical identities of these two nations to comprehend where we are in Bible prophecy today. To learn more about this vital truth, request your free copy of The United States and Britain in Prophecy.
As if by royal appointment, the weather on the great day is perfect, giving London a touch of summer magic. The whole day is to be a superb example of precision and timing, so typical of British ceremonial. The world gets its first full glimpse of the fairy tale princess, demure behind her veil, and the wedding dress that has been a carefully guarded secret. Resplendent ivory silk taffeta, trimmed with antique lace and a long, long train, all 25 feet hand-embroidered. As bewitching and romantic a bride as ever touched the heart of the world. So Charles and Diana come together before God and the world to make their vows, each to the other. The service is to be taken by the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Charles Philip Arthur George, wilt thou have this woman to thy wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep thee only unto her, so long as ye both shall live.
I will.
Diana Francis, wilt thou have this man to thy wedded husband, to live together according to God's law in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love him, comfort him, honor and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep thee only unto him, so long as ye both shall live?
I will.
Highnesses, the Prince and Princess of Wales make their way back down the aisle to the tumultuous welcome awaiting them at the steps of St. Paul's. And so, out into sunshine and bells and wild delight, as a palpable wave of affection and pride wells out from the crowd. Their families look on, with what emotions in their hearts. The Prince and Princess of Wales begin their first public journey, returning through the packed streets of London to Buckingham Palace. Those who say that the monarchy has no relevance to modern British life. Obviously, a lot of people don't agree. Who can doubt the love and happiness that this couple so obviously feel and share? So strong that for one inspiring day, a whole nation can forget its troubles to unite in wishing them well. The bridal carriage draws up at the grand entrance to Buckingham Palace, on as grand and happy a day as summer sun looked down on. Behind a slender police cordon, the Mall fills with people like a thermometer fills with mercury. Receives a roar of approval from the crowd. At last, photographs taken, wedding breakfast eaten, toast drunk, and after fond farewells, the young couple manage to get away on their honeymoon. All the best fairy stories end with the words, and they all lived happily ever after. May we pray that this fairy story is no exception.
Happily ever after. Pray, I mean, there was a reference there before that, during the ceremony. live together according to God's law. God's law has to be at the heart. Obedience to the law has to be at the heart of it if it's going to end well. Herbert Armstrong, he wrote, Britain's last gasp of joy and splendor. That's what he wrote about that wedding from 1981. It was before God and the world. I remember my mother woke us up in the middle of the night to just watch hours of coverage. And we're not a British family. The whole world was watching. The whole world was mesmerized. It all looked so good that day. I mean, the royal family was relevant. My father writes in the New Throne of David, Mr. Armstrong was in Britain at the time, and he privately noted that in the wedding ceremony, I gave you this yesterday, but we'll just repeat it here, references to the wife obeying her husband based on numerous scriptures, I gave those yesterday, had been removed from the ceremony. He commented, well, let's watch and see whether it lasts or not. I mean, you heard the commentator there giving such a hopeful forecast. And Mr. Armstrong, because he knew you were setting aside the law of God, even as you were paying lip service to it. We'll see how that this pans out then. It did not last, my father writes. Both Charles and Diana ended up having adulterous affairs. That wedding was the most watched television event in history up to that point. The whole world was focused on the fairy tale, romance, and marriage. And they got what they got was a clear example of infidelity, immorality, and treachery. Can we really pretend that their example didn't have an effect on British society? Lots of curses raining down on that family. You go from 1981 to this day, as I said yesterday, it's falling apart. And all the more so in the last 7 or 8 years since God established a new throne. But coming back to that last statement, can we really pretend that their example didn't have an effect on British society? Okay, it's easy to kind of pick them apart, but look at the rest of us. Look at marriage as an institution, family living. My father said this in a Key of David program. This was back in 2023, clip 15.
And we need to understand the majesty and the wonder of marriage and family. Marriage was created by God and nobody else. Nobody even really knows how it started if they don't believe the Bible.
It is a majestic institution. A glorious one. I mean, when God sees marriage, he sees some of what you just saw in that footage. He created it. It's of God. God made it. God made mankind. He made family. He says in Genesis 1 and verse 26, let us, God and the Word, let us create man in our image and likeness. Establish marriage in chapter 2. And then we're introduced to children in Genesis 4. Marriage and family. God says, by the way, in Genesis 2, that it's not good for a man to be alone. Therefore, he made the woman and said the two should cleave to each other. The two become one flesh. So long as it's based on the laws of God. This is from the American Thinker. It says, the test of morality of a society is what it does for its children. These words attributed to Dietrich Bonhoeffer echo like a warning bell across generations. It says, at the heart, well, just to back up, it says, if we dare to measure our society by this standard, we must confront a painful truth. We're failing. We're failing. You look at the family and you see that we're failing. He says here, at the heart of this failure lies the collapse of the nuclear family, once the cornerstone of civilization. Mr. Armstrong called it the foundational bulwark of any strong and stable society. You've got to have family. That's where the stability is. It says here, once the cornerstone of civilization, the family, father, mother, and children bound by love and duty has been systematically dismantled. And this is prophesied. I read Isaiah 3 to you yesterday, some verses there. It's upside down, the family. Marriage is upside down. Children are ruling. In its place, we find broken homes, single-parent households, and blended families struggling to find emotional equilibrium. The consequences are not abstract. They are measurable, generational, and devastating. You know, one of the things I've been telling the news gatherers to be on the lookout for is just covering the nonstop talk of peace between nations. Going back to what Herbert Armstrong said about nations, he says they're just families grown large. But here you have all these stories, just one after another. Marriage is obsolete. It's breaking down. And people would prefer not to have children. And then, of course, there's divorce. There's division. There's bad marriages. It's all around us. And then at the same time, we just hear nonstop dialogue about peace between nations. The latest, I mean, you've got Rwanda and Congo. So now there's peace between those two. Joel Hilliker writes about it in the Trumpet Brief. Is there real? They're still fighting. But how easy is it to invite two leaders into the White House? You have all of the pomp and circumstance. You've got the video there. You've got the statements about happily ever after, peace forevermore, everlasting peace. It all looks so good on film. I mean, when it's made for movies, you can really make it look pretty amazing, pretty special. It can be a compelling argument, even if it's all a lie. Even if none of it's based on law or government. President Trump said yesterday, we ended a 30-year war in Africa. I think they've spent a lot of time killing each other, and now they're going to spend a lot of time hugging. Well, that sounds wonderful. We've got another royal marriage. Rwanda and Congo are now hugging each other. They love each other. He met with these leaders of those two nations in the newly named Donald J. Trump Institute of Peace. I mean, there's so many institutions of peace and unity and love. And then we're told, hey, it's happily ever after. And it's just going to keep getting better. Whether you look at it on the individual level or the collective national level, there's a family breakdown. It's an epidemic. It's everywhere. And it's leading to more and more and more division, strife, fighting, divorce, violence. And if you can't see it, you're blind. Ronald Reagan said, "The family has always been the cornerstone of American society. Our families nurture, preserve, and pass on to each succeeding generation the values that we share and that we cherish." Okay, so what happens if that cornerstone begins to crumble? What happens if the cornerstone is smashed? This is from The Missing Dimension in Sex, Mr. Armstrong's book. The latest revision of that was back in 1981. Yeah, the same year. The same year Charles and Diana were married. Out comes The Missing Dimension in Sex. And what did Mr. Armstrong say? He said, since it is a basic truism that a solid family structure is the foundational bulwark of any stable and permanent society, this fact means only one thing. Civilization as we know it, is on the way down and out. Unless that great unseen strong hand from someplace soon intervenes and saves today's sick society, we need God's intervention. We need, notice how he says, look, the family, the solid family structure, it's not stable now. It's crumbling. It's crushed. And so what does that mean? It means all of civilization is on the way down and out. Family is the foundation. It's the foundation of the community. It's the foundation of the congregation. It's the foundation of the church. It's the foundation of the nation. It's the foundation of the wonderful world tomorrow. And if the foundation blows up, that's not a good sign. It's not a good sign for, Rwanda, Congo, America, Britain. It's not a good sign for the royal family. Family breakdown. This is what Mr. Armstrong wrote in 1980. If family life breaks down, all civilization will break down and go into anarchy. A solid family structure is the foundation and backbone of any healthy and enduring society. I mean, earlier this week, I talked about the repeated and consistent message that God's church has had for almost a century. The fact that there's going to be a seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire to come out of Europe. That was Mr. Armstrong's signature prophecy. And we've been proclaiming the same truth for the last 36 years. This weekend is our anniversary weekend, December 7th, 1989. I mean, since the Philadelphia Church of God was established 36 years ago this Sunday, we have been following in the steps of Herbert W. Armstrong. Why? Well, we see him as a father figure. That's why. Family. Read what it says in Malachi 4. I'll read it. It's not in my notes, but it's a good passage to finish on. Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Well-known verses. Most of you know these verses. But notice what it says about one who had come in the spirit and the power of Elijah in these last days to prepare the way for the return of Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. God sent Herbert Armstrong to this earth to prepare the way. And notice how you prepare for it. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. God said he would do it. God's word is true. This is the sure word of prophecy right here. There's no reason why you should doubt it or question it. But this is the thing that the Laodiceans questioned immediately after he died. They said, you know what? We don't need the father of this church. We don't need his teachings. We don't need to do his work. We can rebel against the family, the government in the family. And that's no problem. It'll still be happily ever after. We'll still have peace and unity. We'll still be blessed. The Worldwide Church of God doesn't even exist as an organization anymore. It's been totally destroyed. No happily ever after. And it's because they rebelled against God's law. Verse 6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. I mean, that's what's on the line here. Ultimately, it's about eternal life in God's family or eternal death. Now, most in this world have not had their eyes open to the truth. The Laodiceans, though, tragically, they at a time, so many of them anyway, understood. They understood the family plan that God is building here. And everyone else will have their opportunity in the world tomorrow in the great white throne judgment period. But family is the foundation. Just one more quote from another booklet Mr. Armstrong wrote in 19, 73, he said the very foundation of any nation's solidarity, strength, and power is the solid and stable family structure. Stability, it comes from family. This was my father again back in 2023 on the Key of David, clip 14.
Herbert Armstrong wrote Missing Dimension in Sex, since it is a basic truism that a solid family structure is the foundational bulwark of any stable and permanent society. This fact means only one thing. Civilization as we know it is on the way down and out, unless that great unseen strong hand from someplace soon intervenes to save today's sick society, which is exactly what Christ is about to do. And I mean very soon. He said that if family life breaks down, all civilization will break down and go into anarchy. Well, look around. Isn't that what's happening in our society?
Another signature prophecy. I mean, we've been saying this for nearly 100 years. When family living, when family life, when the traditional family as defined in the Holy Scriptures, when that breaks down and falls apart, that is a dangerous sign of things to come. And as he said there in that Key of David, we're drawing near to that point of God intervening, like it says in Matthew 24, so that we don't destroy ourselves. God has to cut it short. And then family building, God's way, can resume. That's all we have time for on today's show, because we want to leave a few extra minutes for this week's World Watch. This is Stephen Fleury, and you're watching The Trumpet Daily. We thank you for doing so, and we'll see you next time.
The arms revenue of the world's 100 largest arms-producing and military services companies reached a record high of $679 billion last year. This marks a 5.9% increase over the previous year and a 26% jump from 2015, the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute reported December 1st. The fastest-growing companies come from Germany and Japan. Five Japanese companies topped the list with a 40% increase that reached $13.3 billion. Revenue for Germany's top four companies increased by 36% to $14.9 billion. German company Rheinmetall increased its sales by more than 46% and now is among the world's top 20 largest defense companies. These large quantities of what some call deathware are frightening to consider. Already, our world has much more explosive power than needed to eradicate all life on Earth many times over, just as Jesus Christ warned about in Matthew 24. To learn more about this subject, read our two trends articles, Why the Trumpet Watches Europe's Push Toward a Unified Military, and Why the Trumpet Watches Japan's March Toward Militarism. Cyber attacks on the U.S. jumped 85% during the recent government shutdown. According to the American Security Project, weekly cyber attacks on U.S. infrastructure have increased 56% year over year. In September 2024, U.S. utilities suffered a 70% increase in cyber attacks compared to September 2023. Hostile states are responsible for much of this increase, with CrowdStrike reporting that China's attacks were up 150% in 2024. Meanwhile, the U.S. plans to slash its cybersecurity and infrastructure security agency budget. America's aging infrastructure is vulnerable to cyber attack, and the rise of artificial intelligence is making it worse. We could lose the next war before we even begin if somebody breaks our military codes, Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Fleury wrote in 1999. Since then, threats to America's technology infrastructure have amplified as AI transforms cyberspace. To learn more about the critical danger posed by our national reliance on technology, read America's Achilles Heel and Germany. Chinese General Secretary Xi Jinping commissioned China's third aircraft carrier into service last month, marking the latest sign of the nation's rapidly expanding naval power. The Fujian CV-18 is China's most advanced carrier to date. Dubbed China's crown jewel, it can carry 60 aircraft, including the nation's latest stealth fighters. The vessel features a state-of-the-art electromagnetic catapult system, enabling the launch of heavy aircraft. Until now, the U.S. was the only country with this advanced technology. China has the world's largest navy, with 395 ships, almost 100 more than the U.S. By the end of the decade, China is expected to add another 70 to that count, while the U.S. will add just 42. China is also building a formidable icebreaker fleet to conquer the Arctic and sent the Sichuan, a next-generation drone carrier, on its maiden voyage last month. China's naval dominance was prophesied nearly 3,000 years ago in the Bible. Isaiah 23 and Deuteronomy 28 prophesy of an end-time economic siege against the U.S. carried out by a group of powers, including Chittim, an ancient name for modern China. Its rapidly growing naval might, even as American shipbuilding lags, is a step toward this imminent siege. For more information, read our Trends article, Why the Trumpet Watches the Development of a Massive Anti-American Trade Bloc. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.